This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Try this. How's this? Hopefully the sound is working now, inshallah ta'ala. Altif, test number three, let me know if you can hear me, inshallah. I'm getting a signal that you can hear me now, so it should be good, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, working. Good. Alhamdulillah. It's not working the way I want it to work, but we'll go with it anyways. We will deal with it. All right, so let's do this, inshallah, Tad. Yeah, I know. Instagram always works good. You guys don't need to worry about Instagram. It's the other guys. And I think what I'm going to do is probably going to deactivate some of the accounts that I'm running. We're live streaming on a number of different accounts, and I think I might just turn a couple of those off to see how it goes. There we go. All right. So we're looking at verse number 125 of Surah Al-An'am. We began Surah Al-An'am yesterday, and we'll skip to verse number 125, inshallah ta'ala. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. الله سبحانه وتعالى guides who he wills. He says, whoever Allah wills to guide, he opens their heart to Islam. But whoever he wills to leave astray, he makes their chest tight and constricted, as if they were climbing up to the sky. This is how Allah dooms those who disbelieve. يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that we as human beings are definitely in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who guides us throughout our life. Guidance in terms of hidayah, in how we are and who we are as human beings and the things that we do, in terms of our ibadat and so on, all of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot take that claim for ourselves. What I mean by this is, our actions, no doubt, we are responsible for. But when it comes to believing and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we submit to Allah in our ibadah, in our worship, that is the guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He opens our heart towards what is true and what is right, if we wish for that, if we are inclined towards it. Those that are not inclined towards goodness, towards khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their hearts. Okay, He seals their hearts. And He says here, He leaves them to go astray, makes their chest tight. What does this mean? You know, when someone is climbing a mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as though they're climbing up into the sky, right? When you're climbing up a mountain, the oxygen level starts to diminish. And it becomes very difficult for someone to breathe, especially if they're not used to being at high altitudes. And so that amount of oxygen that is lacking in the human body allows a person to feel tense, right? Like you're struggling. You just don't have that oxygen. You walk a few steps and you start to feel as though you don't have the energy that you wished you had, right? You know, I like to... when I get a chance, I like to watch, you know, things to do with travel and the world and stuff like that. And if you ever watch those who are climbing Mount Everest or going up into the mountains down in South America, for example, you'll see the challenges that people face in reaching high altitudes, where a human who is healthy and has no health conditions, all of a sudden, being put at such a high altitude, may find it very difficult for them to breathe or to even function. And they need to immediately be brought down to lower altitudes. So they feel stuck. They feel as though there's something is restricting them from moving, right? Something is restricting them from being themselves. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this as an example. He makes the chest of those who choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, tight. What we could understand from this is that we become very stressed, or we have a lot of anxiety, right? A lot of anxiety, where you never really feel at ease. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who disbelieves is going to have, you know, high levels of anxiety. No, not at all. But what we do see is that people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have all the luxuries and all the riches and all the blessings or bounties that this world has. They may be extremely wealthy or living extremely comfortable lifestyles, but at the end of the day, they feel like something is lacking. And they try to find it with friends, and then they realize their friends are only after a certain aspect of their life, whether it's the wealth that they have or, you know, the fame that they have, whatever it is. And then they try to find it in family, and they realize that family comes and goes, and family as well, sometimes they will stab you in the back, right? They will not treat you as you would treat them as family, and so on and so forth. And then they try to find it in other things, like in their wealth. So they start to use their wealth to enjoy from this life and feel comfort and luxuries. And eventually they buy and they buy and they buy and they spend and they spend and they spend, and they never find true comfort. Because the more luxury you achieve and receive, the more you feel you need some more, or a different kind, right? You need a different kind of luxury. A vacation isn't a vacation anymore because you always go on vacation. So now a vacation is something where you need extra things that you never used to need in the past. But for someone who's working really hard and hasn't gone on vacation for 5 or 10 years, when they finally get a vacation and they go somewhere to relax, they could even just be, you know, 100 kilometers away in Niagara Falls, and they feel completely at ease. They feel so relaxed. They feel, wow, this is amazing. I needed this, right? Whereas someone else is like, what's Niagara Falls? Been there 100 times, no big deal, right? That person will say, we've been to, you know, the Caribbean, we've been to the Middle East, we've been to Southeast Asia, we've been to Russia, we've been to Europe, we've been to so many different places. We need more, right? And this is why you'll find, if you take examples of like Monaco, for example, those of you who know what Monaco is, where it is, you know, you see the amount of yachts that are being, you know, what do you call it? Floated in. They're basically being used, right, by people being stored there as well. So extremely wealthy people have these yachts that cost like 13, 15, 20, 25, 30 million dollars. They only spend sometimes a week using that yacht. When you think of the amount of money that it costs to purchase one of these and to maintain it and to store it and so on and so forth, that's the amount of wealth that some people, more than the amount of wealth that many people, most people will make in their life, in their entire life. Yet these people have it invested in a yacht that they may only use for a week or two at max throughout the whole year. What does that show us? It shows us that the more wealth people have, the more they try to find luxuries in this life, they will keep searching and keep finding and keep trying to have more and more of this dunya. And they will never feel at ease. And that's because they don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas those who may have a yacht there, who are believers, will understand that that is a temporary luxury. They may use it for some time. They may get rid of it. But the reality is, you find that ease with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that comfort that a human being looks for, you find in ibadah, in worship, and in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move on to verse number 141. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَالنَّخْلَ وَالزَّرْعَ مُخْتَلِفًا أُكُلُهُ وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَالرُّمَّانَ متشابها وغير متشابه كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this beautiful example that he gives to us how we are not to be extravagant and not to be from amongst those who are wasteful. He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ. He is the one who produces gardens, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces gardens, both cultivated and wild, ma'rushat wa ghayru ma'rushat, and palm trees, crops of different flavors, olives and pomegranates, similar in shape but different in taste, right? Similar in shape but dissimilar in taste. Eat of their fruit and pay their dues at harvest, but do not waste. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Surely he does not like the wasteful. So look at this beautiful example. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that he's the one who produces and grants us from these bounties and blessings that he's placed for us here on earth, right? That's the first thing. Then he says that he cultivated the land, both wild Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us gardens, and he gave us gardens that are wild and cultivated. So some that are just, you know, gardens, forests, jungles, like the Amazon, for example, the rainforest, which is absolutely amazing. The more you watch documentaries about them, the more you realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made... really? The sound's working really good today? I'm wondering if it's because of this. I don't know. Let me know if you're if you hear the tapping. I have no idea what I did, but alhamdulillah, at least it's working good. And if it's working good, then that's good, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, you know, the Amazon, when you look at this rainforest, is absolutely amazing. I was watching something about it, you know, about a month or two ago, Tiny World or something like that, right? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us on earth with these amazing trees and plants and insects that we never even think of. We never even imagine that these things exist. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them and put them there for us on earth. And then these gardens, you have some that are just wild and some are cultivated. So we have these amazing farmlands, right? Like the other day I went over to just down, if you just go past the masjid and just keep driving straight down that street, right? You just go down in that direction. It's all farmland. It's just so beautiful, so peaceful, so nice. And you see some houses like up on the hills, and they have, you know, a crop behind there, like property where they're going to be growing, you know, corns. And I saw a tractor going by filled with cabbage. And I was like, subhanAllah, this is amazing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with all of this produce. It comes right from our backyards, literally from our backyards, right? Yet we still go to the we still go to the grocery store and buy all of this stuff. As beings, I think we really should be growing our own crop. We should be eating our own produce off our own land. But that's a story for another day, inshallah ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and palm trees. When you look at the palm trees at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the desert, you know, they didn't have much. But what they had, they lived off of, including the palm trees. So the produce that came from the land or from trade from different lands, alhamdulillah, they had. But also, you know, the palm trees, the bark of it, the branches, the leaves, the trunk, the fruits, the stems, every single aspect of the tree was used by, you know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says crops of different flavors. Some of us like a nice corn on the cob. You can either boil it and then put some butter on it and bite into it. Or you can keep some of that, you know, the stalk, right? Keep that on it and put it on the fire, on the barbecue. And cook it right there on the barbecue. Or you can peel it off and then put that on the barbecue and enjoy it. Some of us will have strawberries, right? That we will go and we will pick and we will indulge in and we will enjoy it. Some of us will, you know, go and pick the apples off the trees, right? You pick the apples off and sometimes they let you take a bite out of an apple while you're picking it. And you enjoy it. SubhanAllah, it's absolutely amazing. And then at times, you know, you might go and I don't know, what else do we get? Potatoes, right? In Canada, we get potatoes, alhamdulillah, from Prince Edward Island, for example, and you enjoy them as fries, or you stop at your favorite fast food restaurant and you order some French fries, or fries, we used to call them French fries growing up, and you indulge in that, oh, Allahu Akbar, nice and good and crispy and hot and salty, right? And then there's other things that we enjoy as well. Like berries, raspberries, and blueberries, and blackberries, and wild berries, and, you know, the cucumbers, and lettuce, and spinach, and all these different things. Some people will say, we enjoy krela, right? They enjoy krela. And so they'll cook this gourd, right, in a dish, like in a curry, and enjoy it. And it's really nice. I actually really do enjoy krela. It's absolutely amazing. If it's cooked right, and done nice, with the perfect spices, alhamdulillah, such an amazing thing to eat, right? Tomatoes, right? You take those tomatoes, you chop them up nice and fine, you make some butter chicken out of it. Allahu Akbar. Look at all the different things. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about here. He's granted us these gardens. Some are cultivated, some are wild. The palm trees, the crops of different flavors. Olives and pomegranate. Allahu Akbar. We didn't even talk about some of these fruits that we enjoy, right? Olives. And olive oil, one of our students, maybe watching with his family, one of our YMA students a few months ago received from some olive oil from his grandfather's farm in Jordan. And he brought a bottle of this olive oil from his grandfather's farm to our house. We have some downstairs still. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You put some of that, you just take a plate, you pour some olive oil in the plate, and you take some balsamic vinegar and you put that on top, and you take bread and you dip it in there and eat it. Ooh, Allahu Akbar. You can eat that all day and all night. And I know we're fasting. I know we're fasting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson here right now. You're fasting, but there's something important that we need to keep in mind. You enjoy all of these flavors, and then he transitions and gives us even more. The olives, cure in it, right? Amazing. But he says pomegranates. Pomegranate, similar in shape, dissimilar in taste, right? All of these different things. A pomegranate, you cut it open, peel the top off, cut it around, pry it open. I love pomegranate, one of my favorite fruits to eat, right? You take it, you eat them, you can put it in a blender, blend it, have pomegranate juice. At Hajj, when you go for Hajj and Umrah, one of the things that refreshes me and replenishes me the most is pomegranate juice, right? You go and you stop, you ask for rumman, asir rumman, and say Bismillah, Jazakumullahu khairan, Dawood, for introducing us to this, and you'll enjoy it, you'll drink it and enjoy it. It's not like the pomegranate juice we get over here in the supermarkets. This is fresh pomegranate. They will take the peel off, stick it in the blender, blend it, and you drink it. Why am I mentioning all this? Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, كُلُوا مِن ثَمَرِهِ إِذَا أَثْمَرَ وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. He says, eat of their fruit and pay the dues at harvest. Eat what Allah has blessed you with. Enjoy the foods that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with on this earth. Whether it's bananas or apples or oranges or pomegranate or olives, whatever it is. Eat and enjoy what Allah has blessed us with on this earth. And alhamdulillah, we don't live at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in an area where they lived. They couldn't get much. When you think of Mecca was yes, it was a trade hub, right? It was a trade hub. People would pass through, caravans would pass through. They would go up north to Syria. They would go down south to Yemen, and they would pass through, and trade would happen in Mecca. But what was grown locally in Mecca? Nothing. The only thing they had was zamzam and dates. That's it. Right? Zamzam and dates. And a few other things here and there, mainly animals, right? Camels and sheep and so on. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. We need to say alhamdulillah for being in an area of this world where we have so many different seasons and so many different fruits and so many different, you know, vegetables and produce and so on. But we have the ability to purchase pretty much anything you want. If I wanted What's the king of all fruit from Malaysia? Come on. The king of all fruit. Very famous in Malaysia, in Thailand. Durian. If I wanted durian right now, I could go. No, not kiwi. Durian. If you wanted durian right now, you can go to a supermarket somewhere in the GTA and I'm sure they'll have durian, right? If you wanted rambutan, right? If you wanted rambutan, you can go to the supermarket and buy rambutan. What's rambutan? It's called the hairy fruit. It's fruit that looks like an eyeball. It's got these things sticking out of it, right? If you wanted dukuri, right? If you wanted dukuri, then you can go to the supermarket and find dukuri as well, right? If you wanted passion fruit, you can go to the supermarket over here and you'll find passion fruit as well. You see, some of these fruits and vegetables, none of you know of them, right? But if you travel the world and you've enjoyed some of the fruits of this world, you'll really appreciate some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and we could find them right here. But look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Don't waste. Don't waste. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. We are about to eat iftar, my brothers and sisters. how many of us throughout the month of Ramadan, we think that we're going to be starving of food, but our fridges are packed with food. Before Ramadan, what do Muslims do? We go and we stock up, right? We stock up our fridges. And I know I'm seeing some of you mention things like mango, right? Grapes, pineapple, Allahu Akbar, a nice Thai coconut, a young coconut from Thailand. Chop the top off and it has a really thin film inside. Allahu Akbar, when you drink it and then you scrape that out, whoa, Allahu Akbar. Right? It's like flavors that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to Thailand and, you know, these street stalls, and they will have all these fruits on there and little baggies, right? Little plastic baggies with fruits already cut up inside, right? And you just take a little toothpick and you eat it. Thai mangoes, Allahu Akbar. Pakistani chonsa mangoes, Allahu Akbar. Some of the fruits of this world, they just remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The flavors, when you put it in your mouth, it's like, right? An explosion of flavors. And the last one that I'll mention, and I know Brother Atif is like, come on, man, you're making the fast hard by talking about these fruits. We're supposed to make the fast hard. Jackfruit, yes, some of you are talking about jackfruit. Mangis, yes, alhamdulillah. You know, all these fruits from different parts of the world, but one that many of you have forgotten. Sushi in Japan. Sushi, not sushi from here where they give you a slice of lettuce. Miskin, they give you a slice of lettuce with your sushi. Try sushi when you go to Japan. Allahu Akbar. Little pieces of raw fish, you put it in your mouth. With these different kinds of herbs and different kinds of you know, pieces of vegetables that grow only in that part of the world. When you put them in your mouth, the only thought that came into my mind, other than saying Allahu Akbar, was like, this is like an explosion happening in my mouth, contained within my mouth. And I can't explain it, and I won't describe it any further. You just need to go to Japan and have sushi in Japan, not sushi in Canada. I've been to the top sushi restaurants in Canada. They're good, but it's not like eating from the fruits and the vegetables that you get in the other regions of this world. So my brothers and sisters, travel and go and see what Allah has put there for us. But from the things that we should enjoy, and I said, our fridges are packed, stocked with food throughout Ramadan. And how many of us, you might even cook iftar, right, at home, and ding dong, the doorbell rings, and more iftar comes to you. And you take it, you open it, you say, Allahu Akbar, this is amazing, it smells so good, you eat from it, ding dong, someone else comes to the door and gives you something else. Allahu Akbar. As Muslims, Allah has kept us away from food throughout the day, but at night, Allah has blessed us with the ability to eat what we want, but we take little bits of it, and then we say, Alhamdulillah. What do we do with the rest of the food? We should not let it go to waste. If someone brings you food and you already have food, enjoy this food and give yours away to someone else. Someone comes to your door and gives you a plate. My wife is doing this now, right? And we make a plate and we give it to them to take home too. Not so much, at least something, a few candies, a few cookies, or something of that sort. You know, treat people with respect even more than that which they share with us. And so subhanAllah, when we do this, we realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't waste. He does not like that we waste. وَلَا تُسْرِفُ. My brothers and sisters, how much of this dunya do we waste? We just spoke about food. What about clothing? How much do we waste clothing? For those of us who don't grow anymore, I know for children we have to constantly be buying clothing for them. And alhamdulillah, you know, I'm so thankful and grateful to the families here in Milton. Some of these families who are very close to us, some of our, you know, friends, when their children get a little bit older, you know, we have like this rotation where we just swap clothing and give clothing. Our children, when they grow out of their clothing, we'll share it with them. Whatever they want, they can take. Whatever they don't want, they can give to another family. So families can take like that, subhanAllah, and share the clothing instead of wasting it, right? But those of us who have grown and we're not, you know, we're not in need of so much clothing, alhamdulillah, we should make do. Like, take care of your clothing, take care of your garments, right? Look after it. I don't know, maybe this is just something in me because my grandfather was a tailor in Pakistan. But subhanAllah, you know, look after your garments. What you have, you should be able, material and cloth nowadays, especially if you're spending a lot of money on food, you know, on clothing. I know we're all fasting, alhamdulillah. I know, I'm fasting too, right? I'm fasting too. But we're talking about the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to remember them. So the clothing, take care of it. Shoes should last us at least, at the very least, a year, if not 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. Right? We should have pairs of shoes that we've had for the last 10 years, 15 years, if we don't wear them very often. If you wear one pair of shoes very often, then a year or two maximum, alhamdulillah. Right? Clothing, thobes. Some of us, some of you might not wear a thobe as often as I do. I wear a thobe fairly often. Right? Some of you may not wear a thobe often, but you might have 10 of them lined up in your closet. If you haven't worn one of them in the last year, let's say, if you haven't worn one of them in the last 2 years, give it away. If you haven't worn one of them in the last year, you might want to consider giving that one away as well. Unless that's the one you wear only for Eid. Right? If you wear it for Eid, alhamdulillah. And so my brothers and sisters, contemplate on the things that we have in life. We as Canadians hoard too much. I know Americans, they hoard more than we do, right? But let's not pick on them. It's very easy to pick on Americans. Let's pick on our own selves, okay? We, as Canadians, have been blessed with lots of land and lots of space. Even though I know now our homes are being built very close to one another, right? I'm from Montreal. We used to make fun of people in Toronto and say, houses in Toronto, they're built very close. There's just like 2 feet between each house, just enough space to walk through and bring your recycling bin or garbage bin through, right? And that's enough. But subhanAllah, our homes are still of decent size. We have enough space. There are people who live in one bedroom with 5, 6, 7 kids, right? Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't waste. An example, you know, a brother was telling me the other day, someone that he knows who lives in his neighborhood sold his house. And I was like, wait a second, I remember that brother just moved in about a year ago or a year and a half. He said, yeah, I just moved about a year and a half into the house and he just sold the house. Why? Because house prices have gone up. But because house prices have gone up, look at what people are doing. You have 1, 2, or 3 children. How many bedrooms do we honestly need in our homes? And to continuously be searching for a bigger and bigger and bigger home, that is israf. Israf of what? Israf of resources. Israf of our time that we need to work harder, to earn more, to be able to afford that house. Israf in the amount of wealth that we're spending on the house when we don't need it. We can suffice with something smaller and use the extra wealth that we have for sadaqah. Use the extra wealth we have for projects. Use the extra wealth we have for Ramadan Sprint 2021, right? Use the extra wealth that we have for sadaqat, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more that we do that and live within our means and give more for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we will be pleased with what we have in this world and Allah will continue to give us more. The problem with us as human beings is when Allah gives us more, we become greedy and demand more and expect more and request more and start to change our lifestyle to live higher and better and bigger and grander. My brothers and sisters, really when we think of it as adults, we don't need much to survive in this world. And that's one of the reasons why I like being a traveler. I like traveling because I could put what I need in my carry-on bag and I can go to the other end of the world and stay there for some time and come back from the other end of the world. And it reminds me that all I need is really right here. All you need to survive is a small amount of provisions in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the best of provisions is taqwa. Right? فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. The best of provisions is taqwa. Because when we trust and believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. When we have food, we have it. When we don't have food, we don't have it. And I'll give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is being said here? But Shaykh, my husband's Baju Malayu is the same for years till I get bored. But because he only wears it for Raya, Eid. Okay. So give that one away and buy him a new one. You see, there's nothing wrong with using the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But give away from what we have when we get something else. So a policy that we should have is, if you go to the store, this is what I do when I go shopping for shirts or for pants, right? I will go and I will buy 4 or 5 pairs. And that's it. I don't want to go and buy, oh, you know what, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go buy another pair from this store or that store. No. I go to one store, and I know which store I go to. I go to that store, and I buy multiple different colors of pretty much the same pants, right? And that's it. I have 4 or 5 pairs. I don't need to go shopping for pants for the next 3 or 4 years. Alhamdulillah. Then when I need shirts, I'll go to the store, buy 3 or 4 or 5 shirts, all different colors, all from the same store. It's pretty much the same shirts. Alhamdulillah. Get rid of 5 other pairs of shirts. Get rid of 4 other pairs of pants, right? Get rid of what you don't have or what you don't need anymore. Maybe because it's worn, you know, you might be able to use it for work or something like that, or give it to those who may need, right? Or if it's no good anymore, alhamdulillah, just get rid of it, right? Get rid of it. Don't hoard. Don't keep things. Because the more we keep, the more we start to keep more and more and more, okay? I know people are like, oh my God, you're telling us about your wardrobe. You wear the same shirt and the same pants, just different colors. Yes, it's simple that way. And alhamdulillah, I think I make it look good, right? Alhamdulillah. Just make sure you always iron your clothes. People are like, how come your clothes always look good? Iron. I love ironing. Iron your clothes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with an iron. Iron your clothes. Make the creases look nice. Make it be straight. Alhamdulillah. Say mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And Allah will bless you with the little simplicity that you give towards trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. So be nice, look nice, be presentable. I'm not telling people to wear rags. But make what you have look even more presentable by preparing it properly. That was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would prepare himself before going out. He would groom himself and make himself look good, right? Aisha radiallahu anha, she would take the itr. She would take the itr, the perfume. And this is a small amount of perfume that a friend of mine gave me. And I cherish it. I love it. It's a nice smell. And I'll show you what Aisha radiallahu anha used to do. She used to take the perfume and put it in her hand, in her palm. And a lot of the perfume at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was hard. It was not as oily or as fluid as, you know, the perfume that we have nowadays. And she would rub it in her palm to make it warm and to melt it. And then she would rub it on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. She would rub it on him. How many of our wives are rubbing perfume on us? How many of us as husbands are rubbing the perfume on our wife? Zero, right? None of us are doing that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would prepare himself to go out, and his spouses would enjoy the fact that he was looking good for them. And being presentable as a Muslim, as a believer, not for the sake of trying to attract others, not for the sake of trying to get someone else's phone number, not for the sake of, you know, doing haram or committing haram. No. So my brothers and sisters, when it comes to waste, wasting water, how many people don't have water to drink? In fact, I'm going to start up a campaign. You'll see it on my social media probably tonight. And I hope that everyone contributes towards that, inshallah. Let's try to feed orphans, right? We'll start up this campaign tonight. I have everything set and ready. I just need to launch it. Let's try to feed some orphans. Let's try to give food to children in schools, right? Children who go to schools whose parents can't afford to provide for them. Some of these children will go and work 10, 8, 9, 10 hours a day just to be able to buy a bowl of food. A bowl of food. They work the whole day to just be able to buy a bowl of food. And this brings me to the example that I was going to share of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. My friend in Vancouver, Adnan. My friend Adnan in Vancouver bought me this. It's Creed Royal Oud. And it is beautiful. I've had it on my desk. It's been a couple of years. This little bottle, look at it. It's not even the size of my finger. But it's so beautiful. SubhanAllah. Right? The Prophet ﷺ would get up in the morning, you know, when he prays his tahajjud and stuff like that, then takes a nap and then gets up and goes for fajr, prays fajr, then has his, does his adhkar and dua and stuff like that. And then after the sun rises, he would pray his duha, right? And then he would come home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would ask Aisha radiallahu anha, what is there to eat? Is there any food? Is there any food? Imagine, our Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to his house, asking his wife, whether he was going to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha or any of his wives, he would go and say, is there any food? And if they would say to him, O Messenger of Allah, we have no food in the house, he would say, okay, alhamdulillah, I'll make today a day of fasting. I'm going to fast today. May Allah forgive me first and foremost. Because when you think of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. From the time that I was living in Medina, we used to try not to waste food. But it became even more important when we moved to Malaysia. Living in Malaysia and seeing people who didn't have food and being involved in projects like Charity Right, which is the campaign inshaAllah ta'ala will launch for tonight inshaAllah. Charity Right, going out in the middle of the night and giving to people, giving to families. I remember taking my wife and children, Marwa at the time was born. We would go downtown to the city center, and there were families, children, and I remember seeing my wife, you know, braiding the hair of a girl, a little girl who's this, you know, the age of our youngest daughter now. A little girl, she would braid her hair. My wife was braiding her hair, and I was like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm taking care of her. She lives on the streets." Her mother was gone to, you know, do some sort of job, a little bit of work, make some money, you know, try to be able to afford food. And the father was looking after the children. And the father was saying, when my wife comes back, then I go and I try and do some work and make some money so that we can have something to eat in the morning. SubhanAllah. Yet you open our fridge and how much food is in there? Alhamdulillah. May Allah protect us all from His punishment due to being from amongst those who waste, who have so much that we just throw it in the garbage. And I know that we're about to break our fasts in a few minutes. But remember, my brothers and sisters, don't waste your food. Don't waste your food. If you have some extra, keep it for tomorrow. Don't cook tomorrow. You're not going to eat for the whole day. So don't cook and save it for your iftar tomorrow. And try not to waste any food. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who do not waste the food that He's blessed us with. Because everything is a blessing. And today we have food, tomorrow we might not. And if our Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any food to eat, then we're in so much luxury. Right? We are in so much luxury. May Allah protect us all and grant us the best of this life and the best of the year after. Ameen. So there's quite a bit more to cover of this juz. But you're going to recite it anyways. So you'll learn it later, or we'll learn more of it next year. That's all the time that we have for today, inshallah ta'ala. We will resume tomorrow. Please do check out the social media accounts for tonight, inshallah. I'm going to try and have it up later on tonight for those of us that want to contribute to help some children around the world. I've been paired up with some of my friends in Australia who are running Charity Right, which is an organization that I sat at the table when it was being drafted back in 2012. And it was an organization that, we established in Malaysia, alhamdulillah, feeds people around the world, and look forward to that, and look forward to having your help and support in helping other people around the world who are in need. Jazakumullahu khairan, and please do remember that on the 10th day of Ramadan, we will be launching our Quran Quest quiz. The details have been put up on this Instagram account, the ICCM Milton Instagram account. So please go to the Masjid Instagram account and check out the story, and you will see some of the details there, inshallah. We're just about to secure the prizes and get everything ready to go, and my wife's been working on the questions. So alhamdulillah, things are looking good for it this year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put khair and barakah in everything that we do. Barakallahu feekum. I'll see you all tomorrow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasts. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Adnan, if you're watching, jazakumullahu khairan for this perfume, because it's super awesome. Alhamdulillah.